Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you're listening to this during the week, hope you're having a wonderful week. If you're catching, if this is so happened the weekend, hopefully you're having a good weekend. You know, the things of this world can bring us down. I can easily be brought down. I'm human. But one thing that I am learning, and I don't always meet the mark on that one, is to understand the joy of my salvation. When everything else is falling apart around me, I don't need to look at all that. I need to firmly place my eyes on the one that holds my tomorrow. And of course, you guys know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. If you've been following this ministry at any time for a while now, it's, you know, this website was labored through the Holy Spirit, and it's not in, I guess, in God's eyes, it's big. In mine, it's, you know, it's just what it is. It's, it, you know, compared to the ministries out there, it's not that big. But compared to, in God's eyes, it's, if one person is touched, if one person is, it encourages, that it teaches, that it helps out, it helps them look at the world for what it is, it helps them cipher through bad theology, bad preaching out there, and there's a lot of it, to expose wolves, and there are many. One soul even that may come across this as lost and hears a salvation message and sees what they're missing in their life, that gap that they are looking for. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can truly fill that void. You know, when I say brothers and sisters here, the reason I kind of open this up always like that, because I know there might be new people that come on here. You know, if you're following this ministry for, you know, years now, you are a brother and sister because you're following this ministry. And the thing is, this ministry, I'm seeking truth. And the only truth, right, is Jesus Christ. The only way is Jesus Christ. The only life, internal life, is Jesus Christ. He is absolute truth. Without him, nothing else makes no sense. And that's not me being boastful. That is me boasting in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that matters. Amen. So here we're in part eight of spiritual warfare. I don't know how many parts this will be. I've been working on this one for probably about 2 weeks off and on, and I preached a different message last week on storms in life. So we encourage you to go check that out, looking at our physical storms and our spiritual storms and how they are connected. And I guess that's kind of part of spiritual warfare too. So, but I didn't consider that a part, because this part eight is dealing with the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Now, one verse, which is going to piggyback on quite a few other verses. And I know, you know, we all have our different styles of preaching. And you know, I've studied a lot and still studying a lot on styles of preaching. And in the end, the Holy Spirit, you can read as much as you want. The Holy Spirit dictates a man of God's way of preaching. We don't all preach the same. Try to model your life at a specific preacher that you like, because you're not that person. You are individually, the Holy Spirit works in your life to preach the way God wants you to preach. So don't be caught up. I listen to sermons all the time. I got specific guys I like to listen to throughout the week. But I don't preach the way they preach, because I'm Jonathan Ritter. I preach a different way as the Holy Spirit leads me. So we'll be in Ephesians 6:11. This is part 8 of our spiritual warfare series, and the title simply can be, if you need a title, you say you can type in or you can write The Wiles, that's W-I-L-E-S, of the devil, of Satan. Our verse here is just in, we last 2 weeks ago we looked at verse 10, and today we're looking at verse 11. So Ephesians 6:11, we're going to read this verse, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into this sermon. Part 8, Wiles of the Devil, Spiritual Warfare, Part 8, Wiles of the Devil, Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, God, I pray that you guide it and you direct it as you see fit. For I am just mere messenger. Holy Spirit, fill me. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, my speech would fail. My life would be meaningless. I pray for those that will hear this message that they take it. Their eyes and their ears receive what you have for them today or in the future. God, we pray over their circumstances in their life. For I know, I do not know who will listen to this, but I know the pain. I know the hopelessness, the hurting in this world. There are many that are in pain. There's many within their family. Oh, how our family can cut us deep to the quick. But within this pain, we can hand it over to our ultimate comforter, the Holy Spirit. Within those times, we can find the peace, as you tell us in Philippians, that surpasses all understanding. I mean, this world can't define the peace that we can have with God. But we can get in the way. We can let Satan disrupt that peace. But we recognize his tactics. And we put him where he belongs. Oh, out of our lives. And we cling to the Holy Spirit. And with that, we will find that peace. And we will find that comfort. And we will find that joy. The joy of our salvation. The joy of continuing in this race to the very end. God, I pray for those that are financially struggling. Those that are experiencing physical and mental illness. God, we pray for those that are homeless and that are in hunger. We pray for those that don't even have a home. They're in the streets. God, we pray for them. We lift them up to you. We have people in our family that burdens our hearts. And we lift those up to you too. God, we pray that their eyes are open to the truth of the gospel. The truth of salvation. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 6:11. I just want to bring your attention to that last part of Ephesians 6:11 where it says the wiles of the devil. You know, when we hear that word wiles, and of course I'm referring to, I usually preach out of the King James Version of the Bible. It uses that word wiles. What really comes to mind is a strange word, right? But biblically speaking, and you can look at other translations here, but when you see the word wiles, you can think of devices, schemes, tricks, deceptions, or traps that Satan puts in place and hope that you will walk right into them. Now, that's very important. Just, you know, if you're taking physical notes, write that down, and then go back through scripture and just kind of ponder that. If you get anything out of this message today, just think of the wiles. And think as wiles, you can see it as devices, right? Schemes, tricks, deceptions are traps that Satan puts in place and hope that you will walk right into them. Several weeks ago, I used the, not really an illustration, but I guess, I was talking about the spider and how that spider designs the web. I live out in the country, and I really like watching animals interact and spiders, and how they construct their webs. It's interesting. They spend a lot of time, and what is the purpose of them taking all that time to design that web is to catch their food, catch their prey. So Satan designs his web of these wiles, these devices, these schemes, these tricks, these deceptions, right? He puts that web together, hoping that you will go right into it. Now, this is part eight. On part one and two and three, we kind of really looked at Genesis 3, right? And to me, that's a very important passage to understand the concept of spiritual warfare. It's one of the first ones that I would encourage anybody to tackle when we're looking at spiritual warfare, is Genesis 3, 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, you know. And you see Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to go too deep into that, because to get the full benefit of this series, you need to listen to part 1 all the way to 8. And I pray that you have done that. I know some of it's redundant. And the reason it's redundant, simply, God wants it to be redundant. So meaning, you're needing to hear it again. And you may need to hear it again until you get it. And maybe he'll just keep on doing it. And maybe you won't ever get it. You'll just keep hearing it until you recognize what it means in your life, applicational purpose. And when we look at Adam and Eve, the first two humans created, they lived in a perfect environment. They did not want for nothing. Their needs were met. They were going to live forever, right? They didn't have the physical pain that we have. They didn't have the sorrows that we have. They didn't have the limitations that we have. Now, when I speak of limitations, I'm going to go a little bit, and you've heard me say this before, is Adam and Eve, physically, I truly believe, and we can't really, it don't say it written straight out of scripture, but when God creates something good, when he uses the word good, it's basically, it's beyond what we can imagine. When he created his creation, he called it good, meaning it was beyond what we can imagine. So we can assume that Adam and Eve were probably the most intelligent individuals ever to exist on planet Earth. I think high IQ is average high IQ to be considered genius is 130 or higher. There are rare exceptions where there's been IQs a lot higher than that, but I want to tell you, I don't care how high an IQ is today, and that's how they kind of judge intelligence and superior intelligence and how you are a genius. It does not surpass the IQ that Adam and Eve possessed. They were highly intelligent. So you have Adam and Eve, these highly intelligent human beings. But guess what? Eve fell for the wiles of Satan. She was in the deception. Don't have to take my opinion. Go to 2 Corinthians 11:3. And then springboard a Bible study from that. She was in deception. Because it's not about intelligence. You could be as smart as you can possibly be and have a what they would consider a genius IQ. If your eyes are not faced, or your eyes are not firmly planted on Jesus Christ, you will fall for everything Satan has set up for you. Never think that you can't. You know, I was during this studying and researching and praying, you know, I was thinking of a guy, and maybe you guys have never heard of this guy, and I encourage you to, you know, I don't agree with everything this guy has said, but John Bunyan. I always like to give that the disclaimer, because I try to read a lot of their stuff. Time don't prevent me to read everything. I wish I had time to sit here and read and read and read. Because you guys know I work 40 hours a week, and I'm wore out, and I'm getting a lot older. So working 40 hours a week and then spending 40 plus hours of, you know, Bible studying and prayer and all that, and of course, and a lot of times it's leaning on the Holy Spirit, because I cannot study as much as I wish I could. So I always get that disclaimer out there that, you know, I haven't read everything by John Bunyan. I've came across a few things that I question in a sense, but, you know, John Bunyan, for what it is, and you guys, y'all have Google and y'all have, you know, your own research. He's one of the books that I really enjoy was The Pilgrim Progress, or I think it's The Pilgrim Progress. It's a really well-written Christian literature there, but he was a non-conformist Puritan preacher, pastor preacher in the 1600s. He went against the government at his time, which would have been Charles II in England. Now, Charles II, he was wanting to handpick his pastors and handpick his preachers that he could control. And those that did not go with the flow that Charles wanted would face the penalty of not obeying. And John Bunyan was one of those individuals that would face Charles II, and you can view that as the government. He was going against the government. He was leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide him and direct him. And this led to him being imprisoned for over 12 years. Can you imagine being in prison for 12 years for what the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart to not conform to what others around them are saying? Speaking the truth of the gospel. He wasn't going with the flow. He was not compromising. And this ended him at least 12 years in prison. 12 plus, actually. Because he was in 12 and then he got out. And I encourage you to read. You go type in John Bunyan. Read that account. Because I'm really giving a compound version of this. My question is, could you stand up against, and one day here in America, that could truly happen? The latest, the latest sin that's trying to be popularized or is not really new, as Solomon says, nothing new's under the sun, homosexuality. When it comes down to it, if you look at the movement, they are trying to get where it's illegal here in America, considered hate speech, even to be placed in jail for simply saying that homosexuality is a sin. Now, I'm not picking on just one sin. I'm just speaking of the one, and a lot of you guys are, if you're catching up with the news, you see the LGBT plus whatever, what they want to do now, how it's gaining momentum. And honestly, I believe it will continue to gain momentum to a point where that will be here in America. And I could be wrong, but I don't profess to be a prophet by no means, but the trend that we look at is here in America, one day it will be illegal to preach against homosexuality. And if that becomes the case, then could you still stand as a preacher, as a pastor, as a person living out in this world? Could you still stand when your job tells you that you will compromise or you will face the penalty of wherever they will, but losing your job or fines? Could you still stand? This is a question to think about, and you may view that as crazy and whatever. You won't view it as crazy one day when you're looking at it, and then you have to make that decision. But John Bunyan, a true man of God, stood on truth. He was not immune from the attacks of Satan on his mind, and this is a long section out of his book called Grace Abounding. And on these podcasts, the thing is, I'm not regulated by time strength, so I can preach as long as the Holy Spirit leads me to preach. And the thing on this, you can always pause it and come back later to it if it's too long. But Grace Abounding, and this is just reflecting of what was going on. He's in prison, standing for truth, and he's allowing Satan to influence his mind. And here it goes like this. He says, "For about the space of a month after, a very great storm came down upon me, which handled me 20 times worse than all I had met with before. It came stealing upon me, not by one piece, then by another. First, all my comfort was taken from me. The darkness seized upon me, after which the whole floods of blasphemies, both against God, Christ, and scriptures were poured upon my spirit. To my great confusion and astonishment, these blasphemous thoughts were such as also stirred up and questioned me against the very being of God and His only begotten Son, as whether they were in truth a God or Christ or not. Whether the Holy Scriptures were not rather a fairy tale, a fable, a cunning story, than the holy and pure Word of God. The tempter would also much assault me with this: how can you tell but that the Muslims had as good Scriptures to prove their Muhammad? The Savior, as we have proved, our Jesus is. I think that so many thousands in so many countries and kingdoms should be without the knowledge of the right way to heaven. If there were indeed spiritual warfare in heaven, and we only who live in the corner of earth should alone be blessed therewith. Everyone think his own religion right, but Jews and Muslims and pagans, and what if all our faith, Christ, scriptures should be the same thing too? Sometimes I endure to argue against these suggestions and to sit some of the sentence of blessed Paul against them, but alas, I quickly felt what I did this, such a arguing as these were would return again upon me through we may so great of a matter of Paul and his words. How do I know that Paul himself was not a deceiver and out to destroy his fellow men? These suggestions with many others, which at time I may not nor dare not utter, neither by word or pen, nor did make such seize upon my spirit and disoverwhelm my heart, both with the their numbers, the continuance, the furious force. I felt as if there was nothing else but these from morning to night with me, as though indeed there could be room for nothing else. And I was also concluded that God had in very wrath to my soul give me up unto them to be carried away with them as with a mighty whirlwind. Only by distaste that they gave up to my spirit. I felt there was nothing in me. They refused to embrace me. But this consideration I only had but when God gave me brief moments of relief. Otherwise, the noise and strength force of these temptations would drown and overflow as it was were buried all such thoughts and remembrance of such things. While I was in this temptation, I should often find my mind suddenly put upon it to curse and swear or to speak some grievous things against God or Christ, His Son, and the Scriptures. Now I thought, surely I am possessed of the devil. At other times again, I thought I should be bewitched of my wits. For instead of praising and magnifying God the Lord with others, if I have but heard Him speak of presently some horrible blasphemous thoughts or other would bolt out of my heart against Him. So whether I did that God was or again did there were no such thing, no love, nor peace, nor gracious disposition could I feel within me. These things that sink me into my very deep despair, for I conclude such things could not possibly be found among them that love God, often when these temptations have been with me, forced up on me. To compare myself in the case of a child whom such a doctor had by force taken up and carried from family, friend, and country. Kicked sometimes I did also scream and cry, but yet I was bound in the wings of the temptation. The wind would carry me away. I thought also of Saul and the evil spirit that did possess him, and did greatly fear that my condition was the same with of his. You see that 1 Samuel 16:14. In these days when I've heard other talks of what was a sin against the Holy Spirit, then would the temper so provoke me desire to sin that sin, that if I could not, must not, neither should be quiet until I had committed that. Now no sin was served, but that it were to be committed by speaking of such words, and I have been as if my mouth would have spoken the word, whether I would or not. And so strong and measure was the temptation upon me. And often I've been ready to clasp my hand up on my chin to hold my mouth from opening into the end. Also have had thoughts of other times to leap from my head downward into some hole to keep my mouth from opening, from speaking, actually. That's tense, guys. Here's a man of God having a severe spiritual attack on his mind. And I was reading and looking at this, and you know, my heart at that point is crying for him. For the devil is cunning. This man was in prison for 12 years. And I started thinking of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, most of you guys have heard of John the Baptist. Leaping in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, when she encountered Mary, the mother of Jesus. You can see that in Luke 1:41. The same John the Baptist said, "Here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." You can see that in John 1:29. And the same John that said, "I must decrease so he must increase." You can see that in John 3:30. But while he was in prison, he started to have doubts. And he sends some of his messengers, his disciples, to question Jesus Christ, if he was really who he said he was. And you see that in Matthew 11:3, Luke 7:19. Man, I won't tell you, and I didn't want to go too deep in all these scriptures because I'll always try to keep these down to an hour. Trust me, I could probably preach almost too easily on this, the wages of Satan. And I really don't want to split this into another part. The goal is to try to keep this series down to at least 20, which is going to be hard. But John the Baptist, the same that baptized Jesus, right? The same John that said, "Here's the Lamb, that perfect Lamb of God," right? "That take away sins of the world." The same John said, "I must decrease so he can increase," that he will increase. He recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But here in his prison cell, started doubting that. Satan can influence these guys' minds like John the Baptist and John Bunyan. Don't think he cannot influence your mind and mine. I pray that one day when I'm in prison, I know my mind will be challenged. I love my freedom. I don't want to be put in a jail cell. But I pray in those moments, those physical and mental anguish, that I will be able to get beyond myself. And I pray that you will too one day, if that is what will happen to you, to be put in prison for speaking the truth of the gospel. If you're a pastor, a preacher, evangelist, you will be faced with preaching the truth or compromising. When we look at God's word, many will compromise and will not preach. When you look at those that will stand true in God's word, not just from the pulpit or how they live their life, many will not stand on truth in the end. They will compromise and they will deny Christ. But I pray that you are not in that group. I pray that you will stand on truth. But if you end up in prison, I pray that you will be able to, and I pray that I will be able to reflect on God, to draw strength from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our life, to center around Scripture, and to not let Satan fill our minds with his wiles. We don't have to, guys. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Let Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The NASB says it this way, "So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for if we are not ignorant of his schemes," here, devices, schemes, wiles, guys. Just another way of looking at wiles, another way of putting wiles. But it tells us we are not supposed to be ignorant of his schemes, of his devices, his wiles, his temptation, his traps that he puts in place for us. Why? We have God's word here. It tells us everything. We have the ultimate playbook. Open it up. Study God's word. You will understand he does not change his tactics at all. They are the same and they continue to this day and they will continue to the very end. First Corinthians 2:12-16. You know, I just use a lot of scripture. I know some preachers frown on that because, but I just believe in scripture speaking louder than me. And if you can cling to one scripture and run with it, go for it. 1 Corinthians 2:12-16 says, "And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Ye might know the things which are freely given to us of God." Actually, wait a minute. Yeah, I got that. Okay. "Which things also we speak not in the words which man wisdom teach, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judge of all things, yet himself is judge of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ." We are not to be ignorant of the wiles of Satan, because as children of God, we should have the mind of Christ. If you really think, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? And in these few little verses, it really gives you the thrust of that. Verse 12 here says, and I'll draw your attention to where it says in verse 12, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. There's two options. There's the spirit of this world, and there's the Spirit of God. That is your two choices. Where are your eyes firmly on? Is it the things of this world? Are you seeking this world to provide you with your source of strength, your source of wisdom, your direction? This is Satan's world, right? Matthew 4:8-9. He is the god of this world. If your eyes are on the things of this world, you will draw your strength from the things of this world, meaning you will allow the things of this world to influence your mind. And when you do this, you will experience the darkness that follows. You will experience the desperation that Satan will wrap around your mind. Do not let Satan wrap the chains of this world around your mind. But if we have the mind of God, right, the mind of Christ, we are seeking to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in guidance that will guide us in this life. I mean, we are not concerned about the things of this world, right? They are secondary. God has not given us another day to make our mark on this world for ourselves. God has given us another day to reach those around us. It could be our family. It could be in our church. It could be at our workplace. I want to tell you that if our light is not shining, if you're at your work and you're compromising who you are in Christ, you're not talking about who Jesus Christ is in your life at work, you are failing. And you may not like to hear that, because you are grieving the Holy Spirit. If you're grieving the Holy Spirit, then you should have issues. But you may not want to hear this message. You might not want to care about this message. You can find you 1,000 other preachers that will sing you lovely lullabies to sleep, but this is one preacher that will not. Wake up. For you serve the God of this world, or you serve the true God, Jesus Christ, the creator of heavens and earth, the The one that sent his beloved son on the, his only beloved son to this world to die a horrible death on that cross for the blood to be spilled for a sinner such as you and me and us in this world. But oh, how we should look and walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh, right? And I love talking about Galatians 5, and it really helps and it gets our mind around things. But when we look at Galatians 5, Galatians 5:16, we'll read down to, and let's read all the way to 26 here. It says, then say then, walk ye in the spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the lust hate against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and those contrary to the other, so that ye cannot do the things of the world. And we went into the lust of the flesh and in one of the series. So that's why I say you need to listen to this completely. I'm not bypassing things. This is a series for a reason. To get the full thrust of everything, you have to listen 1 all the way to 8 and to whatever else it may end up. But verse 18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And he gives a list of what the works of the flesh is. And this is sin, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revealing or reviling and such that, which I tell you before and I've told you in time past, which you do such things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're doing these things and you're loving it and you want to live in your sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're inheriting the kingdom of Satan. Your eyes are on the things of this world. You won't it to glorify. When you're blending into this world, when you're talking like this world, when your conversation is filthy, we are not supposed to be involved in this, the filthiness of this world, guys. We're not supposed to be talking like this world. It tells us the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Man, that's so much truth there. Are you walking in the flesh more than the Spirit? Is your eyes firmly on this world? When we're drawing our strength from this world, we're having the mind of this world is contrary to the mind of Christ. If you're letting this world drive your life, how you want to progress in your career, right, financially, you're losing your true direction and your true focus, your true mindset of this life. If today was your last day, what would they say? What would they say at your funeral? Would they say, oh, this man or this woman, she was a good hard worker. He or she was really friendly. I really like being around that person. He or she really made a name for her company. Or you hear people say that man or that woman, she truly or he truly loved God with everything that he or she had. He could not or she could not stop talking about Jesus Christ. Man, there was something different about it, that man and that woman. He had such a light that shined through him. Oh, it was uncomfortable being around him. And I wish he would conform to the way I wanted him to conform. And yes, he made me mad because he did not, or she did not conform to me. But man, there was something different. You see, when we physically die in this world, we go to our next. And I pray that your next is heaven. That you don't experience that physical, that spiritual death. But that spiritual life. In this life, if we're blessed to get 100 years, the next life is forever. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, you will live forever. If you really think about it, it's such a mute point. I get 100 years here. Probably not even that. When it's said and done, I will live somewhere else forever. Be it heaven, be it hell, be it everlasting pleasure or everlasting damnation. The little bit of hell that a true Christian disciple will experience will not even compare to one day in hell. Just grasp that. We can suffer greatly on this life for Christ, or just the curse, right? The sin curse on this world. But it does not even compare to one day in hell. And those that go there will experience it forever. That should really rattle you. That should make you cry out for those around you that are lost. And that you should always be seeking opportunities to tell them about Jesus Christ. But to have the mind of Christ, right? It's not to look at the things of this world, but the things of God. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And I did break those down in one of these portions in this series. And verse 17 says, "And the world pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that do the will of God abide forever." Forever, right, guys? Just kind of soak that in. To do God's will abide forever. Meaning we get one opportunity on this speck of our physical existence. Are we striving? To gauge in that spiritual warfare? Are we actively looking, seeking God's opportunity, that God's opportunity to reach those around us? Does people see us more as career oriented, work related, all business? They see us that this man truly, or woman truly, beams the light of Jesus. And I'll tell you, those that see the beam and the light of Jesus, they ain't gonna like you. They're gonna say all kind of things bad about you, I promise you. But it's okay. We are supposed to still be standing regardless when those don't want to hear it, we still stand. We recognize the wiles, the devices, the schemes, the tricks, deceptions, the traps, right, Satan has placed around us. And we do that through what? Through God's word. And when we do this through God's word, we start separating the things that are truly important in our lives. It's not our job. It's not our career. It's not even our family. All those are important, and they play a role in your ministry. But the primary is Jesus at the front of everything. If you don't like that, then you're going against Scripture. It tells us, I didn't write this one down, but Jesus says, God's word says, it's in the gospel somewhere, I can't quite remember. See, hating your mother, hating your father. And what he's doing, he's emphasizing, using strong wordage there to say that he's the only one that matters. And everything comes secondary. Understanding the wiles of Satan and how he can wrap that around our minds is very important, engaging in spiritual warfare. To be that warrior for Jesus Christ. So in closing, I just want to present this, and this is, I kind of pointed that out. What is wiles? We looked at Ephesians 6:11 and really drew attention to that last part, the wiles of the devil. That's the wiles of Satan. And what is wiles? And I encourage you guys to write down that wiles can be viewed as devices, schemes, tricks, deceptions, or traps that Satan puts in place and hope that you will walk right into them. And I talked about the spider web, right? And that we are not supposed to be ignorant of his devices and his schemes. Why? Because we got God's word. And I talked about John Bunyan and how he had that moment, right? And talked about John the Baptist, where he had that moment. And these men were solid in God's word. And you may, not agree with John Bunyan, but you will agree with John the Baptist that he was solid. If you just look at the scripture where he looks at Jesus Christ and he recognized that is the ultimate lamb. Because he was very aware of the sacrificial system and the slaughtering of lambs. He recognized the prophets before him, that they were prophesying of the coming Messiah. And here he is, the lamb that take away the sins of the world, the perfect lamb. The Old Testament was pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy, and John recognized him, and he recognized him. And when Jesus asked him to baptize, he basically said, I'm not even worthy to go down to your feet and untie your shoes, as we would say in our modern terms. But he said, I'm not even worthy to even touch your feet, and you want me to baptize you? You should be baptizing me. But Jesus said this had to be done, and he baptized him. Why? And his ministry. And then John the Baptist, the same John the Baptist, the one that said that I must decrease so he can increase, recognize he is primary. He is secondary. We are secondary compared to Jesus Christ. Oh, how we want to view ourselves above Christ. I'll tell you, we are below Christ. He is primary. He is the center focus of our lives, or should be the center focus of our lives. And when we put Him at the focus of our life, when we cling to Scripture, we can, our minds are, will become better in tune with understanding the wiles, these schemes, these tricks, these deceptions or traps that Satan has placed in front of us, because we are in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, He opens our eyes to those wiles. See, we let many of these wiles, they're self-inflicted, and when we do this, this causes a divide between our ministry. And when this causes a divide through our ministry, then we are hindering ourselves from what God needs us to do. I know this can be uncomfortable, and I get that. But you need to understand that within your family, within your work environment, within what you do on a daily basis, Jesus is the primary focus. Nothing else matters. Oh, I know you will not hear preachers say that because they want to keep their jobs. I don't get invited to many churches to preach because I'm not one of those preachers to sit there and tell you comfortable lies, because I will not be guilty of your blood one day when you're looking at God, Jesus Christ, and you say, you know, them guys really didn't tell me that. But you will be without excuse because you have heard, if you're listening, the message, a true message through Scripture. You will not have an excuse. And I promise you, those out there will be without excuse. They will hear men like me, and as time grows darker in America, they will not heed us. And if they can get rid of us, any means they're necessary by imprisonment or whatever, they will. If they could kill us, they would love to do that. They reject, as they rejected the prophets, as they rejected Jesus Christ. He was not even welcome in his hometown. He had to leave. But those that reject Him, I pray, we don't know. We pray that they all got right. We don't know if they did or not. But they had that cannibal conversation with Jesus when they died. As you will. As I will. As this world will. Have you allowed Satan to blind you? As deceive you? As he did Eve? He's been doing this for a long time. He is cunning. He is highly intelligent. Never think He is not. But we serve a God that can open our eyes to His wiles, to His schemes, to His tricks, His deceptions, His traps. And when God opens our eyes, then we can look at our life, right? Was our primary influence in this life? Is it God or is it Satan? He doesn't need much room to work. Satan does not need much room to work in your life. All he needs is a crack. All he needs is just a little wiggle room. I've seen His hand in motion so many times. It has broken my heart to think about it. And I probably will see it more for it's over with. Satan is darkness. He's evil. He's smart. I guarantee his IQ is more than 130. If he has IQ, right? It's way how we measure intelligence, but he's been doing it from the very beginning, humanity, with Eve and Adam. Thousands, thousands of years. He knows you better than you know yourself. But he doesn't know our Jesus. He cannot grasp the things of light. So we cling to the things of light. We let that flood our minds through the study of God's Word. Oh, how we should be men and women of God that study His Word and don't treat it like it's laborious. Oh, how it should be a joy to spend hours a day studying His Word. Oh, it should be a joyness to have hours of praying and seeking His face. Oh, how it should be more important than cutting on the TV or anything like that. Oh, it should drive us. It should be the fuel in our lamps that keeps pushing on. See, when we do that, our eyes are open to the deception that Satan has placed before each and every one of us. He has set traps for each and every one of us. And we don't have to step in them. I pray that you get that in this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this message out, when it's all said and done, I pray that those that heed this message reflect on their lives. Are they serving God? Are they serving Satan? Are they truly striving to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh? They are students of your Word and prayer warriors. Their life, their heartbeat thrives more on the things that you have placed before them and not the things of this world. When I look across America, when I look at her churches, I see Satan all in it. I see his wiles. I feel his presence. It's more there than the Holy Spirit. And they don't want to hear that. For oh, how they have allowed Satan to blind their minds. But they don't have to. For the truth is right there. You send messengers like me so often into these churches with your message. It has not received well. But it's the time we are living in. Those that are truly seeking your Word, they're seeking a version to make them feel comfortable. They're seeking a version that will let them live their life the way they want to live their life. They can serve two masters. They can serve God on Sunday, and then the rest of the week they can serve Satan. Indulge in their sins. Oh, we pray over those today. We pray over an awakening of the truth. We pray that a repentance of the churches, a truly seeking after God's Word, regardless how uncomfortable it may make us feel. We seek His truth more than our comfort. We stand on God's Word and on the truth of the gospel. God, rise men that will stand. And those that refuse to acknowledge the truth of the gospel, let them fall. They will refuse and reject the message and the messenger. You will reject them. You tell us in your Word you will. You have grace and you have mercy. But a constant rejection of the truth will leave a rejection to them in the end. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we just take this to heart. And I pray those that are truly yours, we become more knowledgeable on your truth. We become more knowledgeable on spiritual warfare. Knowing that we are in a war. And it's made of battles every day. For Satan will try to put his web of deception, his web of wiles, every day up for us. It's very important for us to counter with God's word through prayer, leaning on the Holy Spirit and his wisdom, taking our eyes off this world and placing them firmly on Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out through Facebook. If you do send me a friend request, just make sure you put this ministry in the subject title. Same thing with email. If you privately know me, some of you guys have my phone number, so y'all can text me if you have any questions. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Godspeed.